From Studio D Chevalier in Colorado Springs, Colorado, is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, I'm actually coming to you on a different microphone than usual. There was a deal on these two microphones, sold as a pair because they just couldn't be split apart. They would miss each other so, so very much. And I'm testing this particular microphone out, not necessarily so that it can be my primary microphone, but so that I can give it to Colin because, in my opinion, his microphone sounds like junk. So we'll see how this turns out. Yes, yay. But as I intimated on last week's podcast, for some strange reason, I am still in the running at this point to be the next dining critic at our local newspaper, essentially because I had the time to show up to a specific location. I just haven't been eliminated because I chose not to eliminate myself. The way the process has gone, and you know, just quickly, like I said last week, submitted a fake review, and instead of making cuts initially, what the people wanted to do was invite all of the applicants out. About 50 people submitted fake reviews, and then we were all told to be at a specific restaurant. It's called Brooklyn Italian Kitchen and Bakery at 4 o'clock this past Friday, and about half the people that submitted showed up, about 24, 25 people. I was one of those 24 or 25 people, and had to write a short synopsis, submit it, and by short, they meant 75 words or less. Now, I am really... If anything, I am Captain Verbosity. I use way more words than necessary right now. And so if you ever tried to write anything, I know back when we first started our blogs, you were doing that, write a story in the comments.
Right.
And so it had to be, 100 words or less?
Yeah, something like that, because I was using the free Halo scan at the time. So I know it wasn't very many.
Yeah, so since then, I don't think I've had to restrict myself to, you know, anything more than, you know, thousands upon thousands of words. And so as strange as it sounds, writing a synopsis of a restaurant experience 75 words or less was kind of challenging to get everything that you wanted in there and to have it sound right. But I've done it and I submitted it, so we'll see how that goes. I guess now I just wait to hear back, see what round two has to offer. It was a pretty diverse crowd at this restaurant review thing, and though some of the people looked familiar, I couldn't quite place them because one of the things they had us do was wear those Groucho glasses, you know, the plastic glasses with the plastic nose attached and the eyebrows and the mustache.
Right.
Yeah, they had enough there for everybody. And that kind of sucked. it was kind of like restaurant reviewers are supposed to be anonymous, so everybody wore them. And really, I'll tell you what, people look a lot different with them on than they do with them off, because the lady that sat across from me, every now and then she would take it off, and it was like, wow, you know, she looks absolutely different with it off than with it. I would not recognize her, because, you know, up to that point, all I saw was the giant nose, and then she takes it off and she's got like no nose.
So you would recommend that if anybody wanted to, say, rob a bank, that they go ahead and put on Groucho glasses and a fake mustache?
Well, not necessarily rob a bank, because I wouldn't condone that type of activity, but if you really wanted somebody maybe not to recognize you, go to your local joke, prop, or magic store and pick up yourself a pair of these little gag glasses, because I guarantee they've got thousands in stock, because they never sell any of them. Nobody wears them anymore, and, well, there's a good reason for it.
So did you have to wear them while you ate?
Yeah, pretty much. And the reason is because one of the local paper's photographers were there to chronicle all this for their entertainment section, and so they were taking pictures of us, and so up to this point, we have to remain anonymous. And so if you took your glasses off, like the photographer said, she said at one point, if it's irritating you and you want to take it off, go ahead. I'll just make sure I don't get you in any of the pictures while you have your glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had to eat while, because she was like hovering around our table snapping pictures like crazy. And so I had to keep the glasses on. Otherwise, well, I guess if I had taken them off, maybe she would have just left.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you should have done.
So that's that. And also I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I just said meh.
Meh. Yeah. Also, last week, I talked about a blog, which was the subject of this week's bloglaughs.blogspot.com review, which, of course, I recently joined the staff of, and it's not really joining the staff. I'm just one of the people that gets the email that says, go review this blog. And it's 70-plus people offer their opinions, and then the scores tell it, you know, averaged and tallied up. And it's not scientific. It's just the opinions of, you know, several people, none of whom I know. But this particular blog, like I mentioned last week, I would rather rather drink bleach than read, and I was apparently not alone in that assessment. This blog, even though it is apparently Canada's top humor blog, earned one of BlogLaft's lowest scores to date, and as I expected, the chick who runs the site, I won't say which site it is because I, you know, if you can't find it by now, all the information I've given, then you're just not paying attention. But she and her little minion sheep were just pissed off. And, you know, I just get down to brass tacks. You know, she's the kind of person that's happier than Canadian bacon and pig shit when some guy living in his parents' basement proclaims her to be Canada's top blogger and gives her a half-assed icon to put on her blog. But when some site that offers, as they call it, they say right up front, unsolicited constructive criticism, happens to review the blog because, as you know, as it says, we've got our resources on the blog. It says we look through Technorati, we look through top bloggers, blah, blah, blah. Because it was named Canada's top blogger, it showed up on the list, and so it was reviewed. And now, all of a sudden, she's pissed that she got a bad review. And
boy,
according to her, all the reviewers are jealous fat bitches who had sandwiches thrown at them in high school and also too much time on their
hands. See, now that was actually kind of funny, though. But
which was funny to you?
That she can't carry that over. I mean, the whole sandwiches thrown at you in high school. To me, that's funny.
Well, I'm not sure that she said that.
Oh, no, she did.
Oh, did was that one of the things that she said?
Yeah, I was keeping an eye out for it since you'd mentioned it, and yeah.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is, so she redeemed herself for funny at all on her blog?
No. Comment. Just it shows that she has the capacity possibly to be funny, but
she just. Well, but see, that's the thing. You know, I dug. I was diligent. I dug through the shit in her archives to try to find something funny, and to me, nothing was. It was a painful, painful read, and, you know, she's obviously famous in some way, shape, or form, I guess, but if you read some of her recent posts, and by recent I mean like the last couple of weeks, some of them are just whiny, begging for attention posts, like, oh, this site doesn't think I'm an A-list blogger. Well, I am. Well,
yeah,
why?
I proclaim myself to be an A-list blogger. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you can proclaim yourself to be anything. Christ, I proclaimed that you and I are half-hour, power-hour podcast champions of the world. That doesn't make it so.
No.
But at the same time, I'm also not going out and calling anybody who says I'm not a... let's read some of the comments. I have it up here.
Okay.
Just because.
What's the comment number total up to now?
85. It's up to 85.
There you go.
Let's see. Some of the blah, blah, blah. Okay, but then again, she won. Probably Americans voting. You're all just jealous. Well, okay, whatever. I don't know what exactly. Oh, are you girls just mad because you're fatties? An intelligent argument. You wouldn't like her because you're fat. And fat people are stupid and therefore they wouldn't understand her humor.
Right. Because as your body mass goes up, your brain mass decreases. And
exactly. Well, there's not enough room for the brain. You know, your head fills with fat. But
eats your brain.
That's right, yeah. It does. This is the first time I ever read words on a page where I could actually hear wheezing. Of course they are fat. Okay, I guess that's an argument. But no.
No.
Let's see. This is
if you're hearing wheezing while you're reading and you're alone in the room, it's probably you.
Yeah, exactly. If you're hearing the wheezing, it's coming from your side of the room. This is from the blog owner herself. The best is when they said, my face is annoying. Oh, actually, I should read it exactly how she types it because she doesn't use the punctuation. One of my major complaints, by the way. The best is when they said, my face is annoying and they wouldn't save me from a fire. I'm sorry if some nasty rapist was screaming for help and I would drop my shit and help when they say I'm immature. It's the worst review. It's a shitty single and lonely forever. Okay. Oh, and then here's another one. Why do fatties hate pretty girls so much? I work with a fatty, and she loves chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And that's why she got a low blog score. No, it's because she can't spell, and she's kind of friggin' annoying. These people never leave the house. How the fuck would they know if there even was a fire from which to save you? Well, I did most of mine at work, actually, but that's okay. Let's see. The blog owner claims to be a relative of Jack Kerouac, and... Oh, let's see. Mm-hmm. Actually, I should read the whole thing. Where are the words I spell incorrectly? That's bollocks. When it comes to spelling, I am boss. Actually, you're not. Also, you fucking E.E. Cummings fan. One of the reviewers mentioned that E.E. Cummings failed to use proper capitalization, but that this girl wasn't at the level of E.E. Cummings, and so she couldn't get away with it. So she says, also, you fucking E.E. Cummings fans, I'm bipolar, run-on sentences is my thing, and I play the name-dropping genetics card. I'm a relative of Jack Kerouac, so go masturbate in the mirror or something. So if you want to come across as, well, I'm not stupid, maybe you shouldn't end your sentences with, go masturbate in the mirror. I'm just saying.
Well, it's her style.
It's her style. Yes, her style is essentially to come off as a moron. So that kids is apparently what happens when bloglaughs.blogspot.com gives an unfavorable, unsolicited review to one of Canada's so-called top bloggers. Canada's top blogger gets pissed and cries.
So it would seem.
And her minions cry too. You have nothing witty to add to that?
Okay, you might leave this in. Jordan was sitting next to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she got too fidgety, but she's kind of blocked in. So now she's trying to crawl through the armhole of the chair, and I don't think she's going to make it. I think she's about to get stuck.
She's not on the side of small for her age, so I would not take the bet. I would say you're right. She's not going to make it. In fact, she made it.
She made it. She wiggled on through. So there you go.
Wiggled on through.
Yep, so that's done with.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, anyhow, before we get to the really, really fucked up, and yes, that is an industry term, part of what we're going to be talking about on today's episode, I found an interesting tidbit of information whilst I was listening to the live stream of the Don and Mike show earlier today. Now, we're all aware that the NFL has championship merchandise for both the Super Bowl teams printed up in advance so that the eventual winning team can be seen immediately on camera after they win wearing their respective swag. And did you ever wonder, Colin, what becomes of the merchandise that's printed up for the team that ends up losing the Super Bowl?
I have never done that.
You've never thought about it?
Not really. You got to remember, I'm not much of a sports person, so I don't give much thought to it.
But this isn't just a sports quandary. This is just kind of a, hey, what happens to all that stuff that you know is already printed?
Like Oscar t-shirts and things. Yeah. Okay. So share with me what happens.
You've never wondered, but
no.
You would think that it would be destroyed, but it's not. According to Don Geronimo, who's of the Don and Mike show, who claims to have spoken with somebody affiliated with the NFL, and I also heard this on another radio show, and it's also been in print, that the losing team's merchandise is shipped of all places to Africa and is donated to starving children and adults. Starving kids and adults, that's right, in Africa, get the hats and the t-shirts that bear the icon of the losing Super Bowl team. Instead of food, they get the merchandise of the Chicago Bears. I can see it now.
I don't even know what to say about that.
I know you want a burrito, little guy, but here's a Rex Grossman Rocks t-shirt instead. I can just picture some damn Nigerian sporting a Denver Broncos Super Bowl 21 champion shirt and Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl 33 champions hat sitting at their laptop composing his or her next scam email. I am Colin Jones, president of the First Trusted Bank here in sunny Nigeria. I have hella big stacks of British pound monies with nowhere to keep it, and go Broncos!
Yeah.
But that stunned me that running around in Africa, there are people with, like, Buffalo Bills championship merchandise. You know, they were pitiful in the 80s. They lost 4 Super Bowls, and yet, some people, somewhere in Africa, people think they won.
How could I have never heard of this? So, where did you find this out?
Well, it was information that was passed along, actually, about a year ago. Somebody wrote about it in one of their columns, and I wish I could say who or where, but I don't have that information. Where I heard it today was two places. One was our local sports talk show, the Dog Pound with Tony D. And why is it that, like, every single sports talk show has to be called the Dog Pound? I don't get that. But it was on that, and he was quoting from the article, and I forget what it was from. But then also on the Don and Mike show at WJFK out of Washington, D.C., Don Geronimo was talking about this. And so it's not something that has really been widely publicized, but if you ask, they'll tell you. Yeah, we send that stuff to Africa. We don't burn it. We send it away. And it helps to clothe people who would otherwise have no clothing.
Okay, now that is very good of them and everything, but you'd think that somebody would have thought by now to, you know, in Africa, to put it all on eBay and get money for a burrito.
Well, you know, I think that up until now, with the lack of publicity, you know, a fan of a team that lost the Super Bowl wouldn't necessarily jump at the chance to own a piece of apparel that says that they did, in fact, win when they did lose. I think, though, that now that this has gotten out, collectors are thinking, yes, if I can get my hands on this stuff, I would love to. So
yeah,
you're right. It might start a cottage industry. That might be the next Nigerian scam, is taking all of this free merchandise from the NFL and then flipping it on eBay to the Americans. But at the same time, I think that the NFL might have a problem with that and would probably work diligently with eBay to have that shut down.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because The only other option, and the option that I figured they used, was the incinerator. Was to just simply destroy, cut the losses. But instead, they make a charitable donation, and some kid somewhere in, you know, Nairobi is wearing a Denver Broncos championship jersey, but not from when they actually won. So when Joe Montana smoked our ass, and all that merchandise went over to some third world country, them kids had no idea. They're like, Denver Broncos, I love them. They're so good. They won all the time.
Look, a horse. I wish I could eat that.
Well, that's probably what they're thinking, sure.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a shocker, isn't it?
It is. I'm actually very surprised by that.
And speaking of a shocker, on to what we were actually planning on talking about, the only thing that you knew we were going to be talking about, was that you sent me this item, what, about a week ago?
Probably, yeah.
And it really made me cringe. And not too many things will make me just go, what the hell are you people thinking? Well, this comes from BMEZine.com, which is a body modification e-zine. And so this is, you know, right off the bat, this isn't something that I really understand. I have no tattoos, mostly because I can't settle on, you know, anything to put on my body. And it's not that I wouldn't get a tattoo. It's just that I'm so damn wishy-washy, I can't settle on a tattoo.
Yeah, same here. And I also wanted to say that I originally found this at Retropolitan site, and there's a very slim chance that he's actually one of our listeners, so I figure I could.
Well, why don't you send him an email? You just mentioned him, so now he's got to be an email. We gave him a plug, so why don't you mention his website?
Oh, crap. It is, sorry, I didn't have it in front of me, spelled out 1939.net.
1939.net, that's the Retropolitan, yeah. And he's a friend of Colin. He reads Colin. He has no idea that I exist, I'm pretty sure, but that's okay. Join the club.
Yeah.
But
well, you need to move
Colin
to Canada.
Found this at the Retro... He moved to Canada.
No, I said you need to move to Canada so you can become...
Oh, you're right. Then yeah. I could be Canada's, like... next to last top blogger.
Sure.
Anyway, this came from BME Zine, Body Modification E-Zine. It's a feature from the Publisher's Ring section of the website, and it is called Love at First Bite. And I do like how these guys tried to over-sophisticate this fucked up story by placing a Walt Whitman quote at the top. It says, "Behold, I do not give lectures or a little charity. When I give myself." That's from Walt Whitman. And it's kind of stupid to associate that quote with this because this is just plain... stupid. These jackasses gave themselves, literally. It seems the two of the zine's interns, Clive Mathias and Jillian Hyde, fell stupidly in love with one another not long after joining the publisher Shannon Lerat, joining the publisher Shannon Lerat and BME's vacation offices in Mexico, which I already have to say a big fuck off to you guys if they have vacation offices. What? Ever.
We have the 5 and 30 building.
We do. I guess if we really wanted to take a break, we could ask to move our department next door.
Yeah.
But they have vacation offices in Mexico, whatever. Anyhow, these two geniuses decided to solidify their budding relationship, not with a ring or a kiss or a cheeseburger or a swim in the Pacific or any other material item.
Or even a tattoo, you know?
Or even a tattoo. But I'm sure if they work for a body modification e-zine, they already have them.
Well, I'm
it's
sure they
nothing
do.
Nothing new.
But...
So instead, they bit off each other's ring finger.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. They bit off each other's ring finger. As Clive put it, go big or go home, you know? And no, Clive, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you should have just gone the fuck home, pal. I mean, I mentioned one time, in passing, talking to a radio show about having shattered both of my ring fingers at the same time and that I might as well have just cut them off, but I didn't mean it, and I didn't cut them off. But these retards, they put elastic bands around the base of their respective ring fingers to slow up the blood. They then soaked their hands in ice water for half an hour, placed their respective finger into their respective lover's waiting mouth up to the first joint, and they each bit down.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the ring finger, it's the from the first joint up, it didn't come completely off, so they had to finish things off the old-fashioned sawbones way, but get this, to stave off infection, they gargled prior to biting down, not with alcohol, but it was rum! With rum! Rum is a distillate of brown sugar or sugar cane. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Yeah.
But they did it, and then they got all chompy-chompy on each other. And, of course, this isn't where all this shit ends. These kids are currently soaking their bitten-off finger chunks in Bacardi 151, which is 151 proof rum, which is a high alcohol content. And it also sounds like Bacardi 151 had a very heavy hand in all of this. I can't imagine that they did this sober. But they're soaking it in 151 in the order to preserve them. And then Clive, once I can use my hand again, they plan to skin the little finger pieces, and each will wear the other's finger bone as an amulet on a necklace around their neck. And they also plan to eat off the next joint down on their 10th anniversary, and of course, bite off the resultant stub of ring finger on their 20th. Hopefully by that time they could enlist Depends Undergarments and Paula Dent as sponsors and turn the whole thing into a pay-per-view event.
Yeah, it'll be broadcast for sure.
And it's like novel writing, live from Wessex. And Clive bites down, oh, his dentures have gone awry. I don't think he'll be able to make the cut. The crowd are not loving it.
Oh, my God. Well,
you're supposed to say something really witty right here.
Yeah, I know that. And it's just I'm not feeling too witty right now because I'm looking at a close-up of this woman's finger.
Yeah, and it don't look too good, does it?
No, it looks horrible.
It's the kind of thing where you look is like, oh, I'm sorry, did you have an accident? Did a dog bite you?
And what's more,
my boyfriend did. And do you have a restraining order by now? No. In fact, no restraining order. Oh, by the way, Jillian is pregnant. That's right, kids. These two winners who bit off each other's ring fingers as a sign of their budding love are scheduled to spawn. And you can see the pictures and read their account of this horrific event, which they pass off as the ultimate love act, at bmezine.com. As I said before, it's in the publisher's ring section of that website.
I would like to say, while looking at this picture, I can't imagine it 10 years putting that in my mouth. I mean, it would have been bad enough the first time, but then when you're going for the next joint down.
Yeah. Well, and I really think that.
Hell no.
Well, it's not. I don't think it's unrealistic, but I think that the unrealistic part comes at biting the rest of it off on the 20th, because getting it, and I don't think they can do it. I really don't. But you know what? I should send him a little email saying, you know what? If you make it, I want to lay money that you can't do it. You fucks. It's just sick. It's sick, sick, sick. I mean, we live in a free country. Hey, if you want to modify your body, I guess we can't stop you. But where do we draw the line between body modification and assault and battery? They bit pieces of each other off.
Right, but it was consensual.
Well,
so it's not like he just all of a sudden rolled over one morning and bit her finger off. You
no,
know?
But like, how sober were they when they made
I draw the line that they can't bite anything off of me. That's, you know,
okay.
That's
well, where my but then line again, they was, were in so. Mexico. They weren't on U.S. soil. I mean, yes, they were toiling as interns for perhaps a U.S.-owned company. I don't know. I don't know who owns the company or where it's based out of. But they were not on U.S. soil, certainly, so. I don't know what Mexican law is about biting somebody's finger off.
I don't know either. I'm still just
man.
See, okay, here's one thing. When I sent this to you, I didn't really read the whole thing. I just kind of spot read it once I saw where they were going with it and looked at the pictures. And it's just all coming. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, well,
it's
horrible. I mean, I can't say too much more than Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on? But and it is. It's just wrong. It's flat dead wrong.
I just hope they don't bite anything off the baby.
Well, you know, and if the collective intelligence, the collective intelligence of these two people says, hey, this is cool. It's okay to, you know, just lop chunks off your body.
And think about this. The next time they bite off another digit, their kid's
going to
be 10.
Yeah. He or she is going to be there and witness this.
A reaffirmation of their love.
Although if they have show and tell at the elementary school that the little bastard goes to. He's going to be the he or she is going to be the most popular kid in school. Well, my parents bit off their ring fingers, and here they are.
Yeah, exactly.
That poor bastard. That poor bastard. I guess we can't, you know, we can't control what other people are doing. We can't foist our morality on somebody else. But come on, how stupid do you have to be? to think that this was a good idea.
You got to be stupid in love, man.
Buy her a cheeseburger next time, boy. I tell you.
Jesus.
Okay, where do we go from here?
I don't know if there's anywhere we can go. I really don't. Why don't you tell? Well, you had a funny little monologue that you wrote about on your little website, thefizzleandpop.com, last week.
I do.
Talking about Jesus.
Oh, right, right.
And for those of you who don't know, Colin actually portrayed Jesus at one point in his career. I cast him as Jesus in one of my audio entries called Trinity's Company. He played JC, the lead on the fake sitcom that I had dreamed up. And he didn't do a poor job. He wasn't the worst actor in the bunch of that day. Let me put it that way.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's damning with faint praise, considering the group consisted of you, Scott, and Ray.
Yeah.
And Ray, you know, Ray does okay, but apparently when you put a microphone in front of Scott, he barely has command of the English language.
Right.
If you wanted milk... I was like, you try to give him direction, it's like, oh, never mind. But you had a funny little item you wrote about Jesus. Why don't you share that with the kids? For one thing, share the thought process behind that, man. Or at least just pull it up on your blog and read it, because I thought it was funny.
Okay, well, yeah, I have it pulled up here, and the thought process was, it's a long way to work, and driving can only take up so much of my brain, and the other bits wonder about things, so... So you actually want me to read this?
Well, we've got a couple minutes. Why don't you thrill the kids with a live reading from your blog at fizzleandpop.com?
All right, well, I'll skip the first part, so this is going to start off a little weird. The other thought I had delves into religion, an area I'm really unqualified to be delving in, but what the heck? That hasn't stopped me in the past. I was thinking about how the Christian religions believe that Jesus Christ will return to earth and usher in the end times. Now the thought was this. Would the returned Jesus be a Christian, or would he be non-denominational? When he left Earth the first time, he was Jewish, correct? Is this supposition that in the past couple of thousand years he's had time to change his mind? And how would that work exactly? Now, you're actually wanting me to do the voices and stuff, right?
Well, do you want me to play the part of the newscaster for you?
Please, that would be very helpful.
This would be good for Freak Train. Oh. If Pat hears this, he'll be like, it'll be perfect for Freak Train, you gotta come up and do it. And I'm like, I'll be like, yeah, you do. And you'll be like, no, I got an excuse. I plan to be sick that day.
And,
the wind. It's windy, and I totally didn't expect it to be so. So, to set the scene, kids, this is supposed to be a newscast. It's breaking news covering the return of Jesus Christ. This is Bill Jibolwanski reporting to you live from the Second Coming of Jesus Christ taking place at this nondescript IHOP in Boise, Idaho, where for the past 2 weeks his image has been appearing on all of the pancakes, along with the slogans, Coming Soon and Be Seeing You. Crepes, too, I've just been told, and there's quite a crowd gathered here, as you might well imagine. However, I hope to be able to ask Jesus a tough question that I'm sure you, the viewers at home, want asked. I think I see him. Yes, the crowd is parting, and there he is. Jesus! Jesus! Hey, Jesus! Bill Jibolwanski, Channel 5 News. Can you please tell me, do you consider yourself a born-again Christian, or do you still cling to your Jewish beliefs?
Hi, Bill. That's a question that doesn't have an easy answer. I think I still identify with the Jewish faith. However, Christianity does bring up a valid point. I believe strongly in me and my second coming because, hey, here I am. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a host of angels to organize, flight plans to arrange for the near simultaneous upward exodus of millions of true believers, and then I have to kick some evil ass. Be seeing you.
Thank you, Jesus, and Godspeed. Well, there you have it, folks. Jesus has returned, and he's a man on a mission with little time for chit-chat. Back to you, Cynthia.
And, yeah, that was
now
it.
Now you gotta be Cynthia.
Oh, no, I don't. Sorry.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Bill. And now for the farm report.
Hogs are down. Yeah, hogs are up. You figure they're up. I figured they'd be down.
The hogs are up.
Yeah, the hogs are up in my little corner of the world.
Well, see, I thought hog futures would be down because the world's ending. But, you know, whatever.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah, almost as tricky as the whole religion thing. So...
we don't have time to go into our own particular religious beliefs at this time. In fact, I think we only have time to say goodbye. Thanks for listening. As always, you have been hearing the jibber jabber that is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com, working with a completely different microphone this week, but the same co-host, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Take care, everyone.
And hey, just like last week, we love you when you listen, so keep it up. And we'll see you back again next Wednesday, right here on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.